No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today I'm in here with the one and only 645 AR. How you doing, Jay?
Yeah. What up, Adam?
How you feeling?
Feeling good, man.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, man. I'm very happy to get in here in the booth with you and figure out exactly what you're all about. You're one of the more interesting characters to have emerged in hip hop over the last year, right?
Yeah, viral.
Viral.
You got it, man. You got to ask me some real shit.
Yeah, what's the shit that, I mean, because that's always the trick as an interviewer is that you're trying to figure out what's the stuff that they will talk about that is super interesting and that nobody knows about. But you want to do it without having to ask the corny ass question of, what does nobody know about you that they would find interesting?
Yeah. Man.
Does anything come to mind? That's the question.
Does anything come to mind? Just talking. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about anything except like cases and shit.
How's the case situation right now, though? Is it serious or is it just kind of whatever?
Shit. It's a little serious, but you know, it's nothing I can't get through, so. Mm. We're going to be all right.
You'll be all right. You're a rapper. You're supposed to skate past these things, right? Yeah. I respect it. Okay, so you born in the Bronx. What are your memories of that? Because you moved down south relatively quickly, right? So, like, what formative building blocks did you pick up there?
Man, that's where I get my lyrical shit from.
Really?
Yeah, that's where I get my bars from. The bars.
You got from what? Fat Joe
from,
and yeah, standing
from,
on the corner?
Being up in New York. I got the swag from being in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Got to mix it up.
Okay.
That's where I get the lyrical shit from.
What were you listening to out there that got you into lyricism?
You know.
As a 10-year-old.
Biggie. A lot of 50. Heavy influence on 50. I was listening to other shit too, though, like Fleetwood Mac. I've been listening to Fleetwood Mac. Like,
really?
Yeah, I've been listening to Fleetwood Mac.
Me too. I didn't just get
Elton
into
John.
It with Dog Face. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. He popped it off, but I was listening to him before that.
I know. Fleetwood Mac is like, that's kind of crazy that it took this random Mexican/native dude drinking cranberry juice on a skateboard to convince the new generation that Fleetwood Mac is one of the greatest bands of all time.
Facts. You see, I'm a prankster, so like, man, I play Fleetwood Mac because like when people listen to it, like, they start dozing off and shit, starting to fall asleep. Like, start pranking them.
Right.
Yeah, I've been listening to Fleetwood Mac.
Like, do you see how those kids have been blowing up on YouTube just, like, listening to all these old rock bands for the first time and shit?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy, right? Like, that they're so appreciative of something that I kind of always just took for granted. Like, I've heard that Oasis song that they flipped out to, like, 5 million times 20 years ago.
Yeah, nah, they just be catching on, like. I think Fleetwood Mac just had a peak on like Billboard or some shit.
Oh, I believe it
after
for sure.
After the Dogface shit, they just peaked on Billboard.
It is kind of like a weird assumption to think that young people should only care about listening to music that is basically like made by people from their rough upbringing and shit like that. Like, why wouldn't you want to listen to a rock band from the 70s?
Yeah.
If they're fire.
Nah, facts. Yeah, I grew up on that shit though. So it's like, I didn't grow up on it, but like my mom wasn't playing that shit around the house. But
really?
Like, you know what I'm saying? She was like play some like Fugees, like L. Cool J,
right?
Bunch of soul shit. But like, I picked up like Fleetwood Mac, like just being in the car and shit, like going like work with my dad and shit, riding like that shit be on the radio. Go to the mall, you hear that shit, or the airport.
Right.
Like, hear that shit. And, like, I fucked with it. That wasn't the shit that was being pushed on me, but, like, I fucked with it. Like, just hearing that shit, like, it's different. Like, if you hear that shit, like, niggas doing, like, the hype, like, it's high frequencies and shit, and then, like, niggas not really familiar with that shit, like, today, but, like, back in the day, like, a lot of people was doing singing shit in high frequencies and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's totally true. And you think about like disco and shit.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of grown men singing in high pitched voices and shit. And it just seemed totally normal. And then when you do it, it's or Cardi or whoever, it's just people act like this is something that's never been even touched before.
Yeah. But that's the internet.
Mm.
That's the internet, man.
That's true. And people just having short attention spans. But also it's hip hop having not really been broken open and done in all the different ways that it could be done. That we just haven't really seen that much vocal experimentation in hip hop throughout its history.
Yeah, no, that's facts.
All right, guys, I just got to let you know this podcast right here is sponsored by Blue Chew. Our sponsor, Blue Chew, it's a male performance enhancement supplement. Basically, what you do is you head on over to their website at bluechew.com and you use the promo code Adam22, and it'll really help you out in the bedroom. They have a panel of doctors, a series of doctors that you can consult with on there, and it comes in a chewy, gummy form, which is really delightful in case you don't like swallowing a big old horse pill or whatever. It's shipped directly to your door, discreetly. So nobody's going to know that you're getting this stuff in the mail. There's nothing to be ashamed of, but nobody's going to know anyway. And all the orders are filled in the USA. So again, bluechew.com, promo code Adam22. You got to get involved. You'll pay just $5 shipping. It's free. $5 shipping. That's crazy. Back to the interview. When you said you'd be going to work with your dad and shit, what did your dad do and what kind of stuff would you be doing helping him out with?
He did a lot of like contracting shit. Like handyman shit, building shit, like carpeting, all types of shit.
And like, he'd just be bringing you around, having you help out and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, just brought me with him.
What are those memories like? That's kind of like an adorable mental image, especially just because so many people I interviewed don't seem like they had strong relationships with their dad.
Yeah, and I had a good relationship with my pops. I still got a good relationship with my pops, but yeah, like really, I didn't like doing that shit because he was just trying to like, I don't know, I was a bad kid getting in trouble and shit, so like he tried to bring me out so I wouldn't be at home and shit. Like,
right.
So I'd had to go with him and do shit, but like, yeah, I didn't really like that shit for real, to be honest.
Because
like, you feel me? I'm a little ass kid, bro. I'm not trying to, you know what I'm saying, go work on carpet with you and shit. trying to go to the cul-de-sac.
For real, I mean, that's the problem, I think, being a dad, is that at a certain point, you want your kid to give a fuck about all the stuff that you give a fuck about, but then, meanwhile, they're their own person. And
yeah,
if they don't care, they don't care.
Yeah, not facts. Yeah, my dad from Honduras, too. He's from Honduras, so like he's born and raised there, you feel me? So it's like, he moved here. He moved here, had me. So it's like, he'd be wanting me to, you know what I'm saying? Bro, he started working when he was, like, a kid.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? He'd be trying to push that on me.
It's like a different level of hustle coming from an environment like that, huh?
Yeah. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Just thinking about being 4 years old, having to go get some fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, like trying to push that on me.
For real. What was your mom like? Or is your mom like?
Yeah, my mom was a hustler, like hard worker, making sure, you know what I'm saying, she took care of us. Got us out the hood.
Really?
Yeah.
So you kind of saw that like come up in terms of your... where you were staying at and the environment that you were around?
Yeah, like she didn't want me around that shit. So, you know, she worked to get us out of there.
Okay.
Get us out of New York.
Yeah. So you moving from New York to down south, that was very much like your mom sort of like elevating and like moving away to a safer environment and shit?
Yeah. That's definitely what that was.
How did that feel to you as a kid, though? You're kind of pissed that she was taking you out of this fun-ass environment you were in?
Yeah. Cause really, I moved like into elementary school and shit. So like, I had moved to Florida though for like less. I wasn't in Florida for a whole year. Mm. I was staying in like Broward for like 10 months or some shit. I went to school out there and shit. But like, yeah, cause I just like I so shit like I moved in the fifth grade. So I had a class. I was in the fourth. Yeah, I moved in the fifth grade. Like, fifth grade, I moved to Florida and shit. But, like, in fourth grade, it was a dude that lived in my building. I had a class with him and shit. So, like, we had ended up getting real cool and shit. And then it was another nigga we got real cool with. And then he lived in my building. So I was in the class with two niggas in my building and shit. Then we ended up moving, like, the next year and shit. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, damn. But, you know... I was looking forward to some new shit too, so you know what I'm saying? Like, just trying to see other aspects in life and shit.
That's crazy that you were in Broward like that. You could have been coming up with X and Ski and shit if things had worked out a little differently. Isn't that weird to think about?
Yeah, nah, yeah, I've been thinking about that. Like, I don't know how it turned out. Like, I probably wouldn't even be rapping for real if I would have stayed in Florida.
You don't
like,
think?
Yeah, I don't know what I'd be doing.
That's interesting. So, what influenced you to get into music? Like, when did that start to happen?
Shit, so shit, man. Really, on some real shot, I really had hoop dreams.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I still got hoop dreams, man. Like, people gonna see it. Like, I'm
Shaq West didn't give up.
Yeah, man. Shout out Shaq West, man. Right? I'm making the league, man. 2021, man.
Really?
I'm putting the jersey on.
It's gonna take a lot of training, a lot of diet, exercise.
It's definitely gonna take. I already started though.
Okay.
I'm like a month in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Lost. Yeah. Corona started. I didn't put on like 40 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
That's my goal, is to get a fucking house that's big enough that has a basketball court so I can practice learning to shoot properly by myself without having to be judged by any, like, 12-year-old kids at the playground next to it or whatever.
Yeah, nah, I'm finna play in the league, man. It's gonna happen. See me? Like, this rap shit, like, it's just a stepping stone. Like, that's all it is for me.
Really?
But, yeah, like, I was really doing this boss shit for real. And then... that shit just wasn't working out because I was in school and shit. So I was in school doing some shit I wasn't even trying to do. I was just doing that shit, just play ball. That shit, ball shit wasn't working out. So I was still, I'm still talented. Like, it's in me, but shit, like, I definitely just need to get back in shape. But yeah.
I feel it.
It's going to happen, man.
That's one crazy thing, though, that I realized in researching you, is that you were very much around during these sort of, like, formative, like, early SoundCloud-type era in Atlanta and shit, and that you were around Yachty and Ian Connor and the Slime Cito and all these dudes that I'm, like, reading up on you and realizing, like, oh, shit, like, you might only, like, really sort of caught your stride in the past year or so.
Yeah.
But you were, like, around a lot of these creative-ass people at a time in fucking Atlanta history that was pretty... pivotal and iconic.
Nah, facts. Facts.
What's up?
Like, before I started rapping on some real shit, like, I was just, cause I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like, I'm done with school. I just dropped out of college and shit. So I was going to college in New York. So I came back to my mama crib. I don't know what the fuck I'm finna do. So I was just running with the wind. So I'm running with, like, you know, niggas who's rapping and shit. So I'm just like, shit, how can I help them? So I started, like, shooting videos, like, vlogs and shit.
Really?
Yeah, I started shooting vlogs. And, man, like, the first shit I shot was some Hood Rich Pablo Juan shit. It was, like, a vlog.
Wow.
It was that shit. And then the second shit I shot, it was a Smoke Perp show. Smoke Perp, Larry League, and Lil Pump.
Wow.
Did that, and then...
Larry Lee, what the fuck happened to them? I remember that.
Larry
too.
Lee,
wow.
Yeah, man. Shout out Larry Lee, man. Yeah. Larry Lee played a big part of my success and shit.
Really?
So, yeah. Like, that's dope. I came up with them and shit, so.
Oh, wow. That's sick.
Yeah. But, so I'm doing that shit, and then that's just not really it for real. Because it's vlogs. It's not even like shooting videos. So, boom. It's vlogs and shit. Then the nigga wanted me to shoot his video. So, I'm like, shit, all right. I shoot the nigga video and shit, like. He shot the it was a feature though, so it was a nigga from Atlanta and shit, like, nigga, he was well known in the city and shit. So goddamn, they wanted me to shoot a video. I shot the video and shit, and then I wasn't fucking with the song and shit. I was just like, damn, like, so shit, like, they thought I was really finna do like a music video for free and shit. So, like, you know what I'm saying? I low key was at the end. I was just going, like, say, like, yeah, I need this. Boom, I'm editing the video, or I'm trying to, and I'm just listening to the song and shit. I'm just like, damn, like, this shit not it. Like, I could do this. I could do what he doing.
Uh-huh.
I could have somebody shoot my video and shit. So that's when I was like, fuck it, I'm finna try this rap shit. So, like, that, like that made me, like, me being a video man and shit, I just seen shit from a different perspective and shit. So, like, like, not a rapper perspective, but just, like, more of trying to make your way in. So, like, it's more of a perspective of, like, trying to make your way in and shit. So it's like, I was trying to do that, and then I just realized, I was like, damn, like, I could literally do this shit. Like, I'm talking about dude who sold Dude the Feature. He wasn't really popping like that, and then he sold the feature for like a couple bands. I'm just like, damn, like, you selling features for a band and shit, like, this shit really, like, whack for real. This shit really whack. I could do this. So that's what made me start rapping this shit. Like, give it a try. I was like, man, I'm finna give this shit a try. I'm gonna make music that I would want to listen to.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. So was the reaction not great at first, or were you getting a reaction before you sort of started experimenting more and more?
Yeah. The reaction was little though. Like, it was just some small shit. It was like, oh, this shit hard. Like, I play, like on some sneak shit, though. Like, that's, everybody been through this shit. When niggas first start rapping this shit, like, you try to sneak a song in this shit, and you play it, and then niggas like, oh, this shit hard. This shit hard. And then you like, oh, shit, okay, I'm finna run with this shit. Like, it's more than one nigga saying this shit hard. Like, this is my first song, so I'm finna run with this shit. So that's really how I got into rap.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, being around.
Yeah, you can go back and just sort of watch your transformation from looking at old videos and shit like that. Like, you seem like you've kind of done what you can to, like, erase some of your history on the internet, like, by deleting certain shit and stuff. But there's,
man,
still a good...
My shit got banned, man. Like, my Twitter, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, so shit, really, that's a good thing that happened, though, because I was really tweeting some crazy shit. Like,
really?
Yeah, so I got banned from Twitter and shit, though, so, like, niggas can't see them tweets.
You remember the tweet that got you banned?
Shit. Yo, you remember when World War II shit was going on? Nah, the World War III, when it was talking about, it was like, around this time last year, I think.
We thought North Korea was going to bomb us or whatever. Facts. Yeah,
yeah, so I posted some tweet, and that shit started going up. And then, I don't know, they just took my shit down.
But like, what'd you say? Like, you threatened somebody?
Shit, I forgot what I said. I said some shit. It was just like some shit like about North Korea, niggas want to play. It was just some troll shit, though. You feel me?
Boom, I could kind of imagine it. Yeah, like, if you were looking at it from an outside perspective, it might have seemed like you were being sort of racist or, like, threatening to destroy this country. Or,
yeah, that's what it was about, though. But, yeah, it was just some troll shit. They deleted my shit.
Damn, that feel like the end of the world this time?
It did. I ain't gonna lie, it did. Yeah. I was like, damn, I gotta start over. But shit, I was tweeting some crazy shit on there. So, you know what I'm saying? I would've came up, niggas would've started looking at old tweets and shit.
Yeah, we've all been through it. Sada Baby got it a couple months ago.
Yeah. It wasn't no shit, you know, that was gonna get me canceled or nothing. But right. I was saying some crazy shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, everybody.
I'm 13 on Twitter and shit. 13, 14, just saying some dumb ass shit.
13 is a crazy ass age, man. Remember when Brother Nature had it come up and he was tweeting some, I'm not even gonna throw him under the bus or anything, but he was tweeting some crazy shit. Yeah. But then people are like, yo, he was 14 saying
that's
this.
Everybody though, like, yeah. Come on, man. Like, you a kid.
Definitely.
You a kid just saying this shit.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about like nowadays you can transition from a rapper or from a kid to a rapper so goddamn fast, and it's like very hard for people to sort of realize that you were just a regular person 6 months ago. And
yeah,
you know,
we are regular people.
It's true. Yeah, I know, that's a weird thing too, is the rappers are supposed to sort of like be treated as if they were not regular immediately, or you know, this doesn't really make any sense. But that's interesting because you say that you got into rap through 50 Cent, and I wonder like what part of that appealed to you, because like from my perspective I was like 18 when 50 came out, and I remember that was like my impression of him was like, this is the most gangster shit I ever heard. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, not facts.
It felt real in a way.
A lot of badass shit. Yeah, getting in trouble in daycare and shit.
Right.
Type shit.
In daycare. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's dope. So, okay, like, you start making music and stuff, but then you start experimenting and you sort of, like, find your sound. Like, what led you in that direction?
Shit. Really? I was making shit I thought was hard as fuck. Like, it was, like, the best shit I had. And then, you know what I'm saying? Niggas just wasn't catching on for real. I was like, damn. Like, this shit hard. Niggas ain't even paying attention for real. So, I just started, like, trying to put shit together. And then just... So I already told you, like, the back in the days, niggas doing the high frequencies. Like, high-pitched it. That shit was coming. So, like, it was coming. Niggas heard it. Like, if you hear it at the airport and shit, like, you're not gonna be like, yo, what the fuck is this? It's just some common shit. Like, the Fleetwood Mac, so boom. I was like, I gotta switch this shit up. I was like, I gotta change it up. So, you know, when you thinking about shit, you always like shit. Like, you always think about, like, the pros and cons of shit. You always think about, like, okay, what could happen? What's finna happen? Like, what's the good shit that's gonna come out of this? And what's the bad shit that's gonna come out of it? So, I was rapping and that shit, you know, niggas just wasn't picking up for real. I was like, damn, like, niggas, like, gotta get something behind it. Like, something that's gonna make niggas say, what the fuck? But not say, what the fuck, like, because it'd be gimmicks and shit. Like, it'd be too, like, like gimmicks. Niggas just be like clearly trolling and shit. Like, like it'd be pure gimmicks and shit. Like, niggas probably thought it was a gimmick. Like, for the trap, like, niggas probably think it's a gimmick. Some people really like fuck with the song and shit. Some people just think it's some funny shit. But, like, if you listen to the lyrics and shit and you go to Genius and you see what I'm saying, I'm actually saying some real shit. So, like, that's how I thought about it. I was like, damn, okay, I gotta do something that's gonna, like, I gotta do something that's gonna be different, but not gonna be like some weird shit. You feel me? Like, it's weird. It's weird, but like, I made it real. All right, so it's weird. Like, just my approach is weird, but I made it different by like trying to say some real shit. Like, trying to make that shit like having content behind like my delivery and shit. Delivery is gonna get people's attention. They're gonna be like, what the fuck? But like, if you hear some shit and then it's just bullshit, you're gonna be like, man, it's just bullshit. But like, if you hear some shit and you're like, damn, like people keep talking about this shit, like there's a reason why people's talking about this shit, cause I'm saying some real shit, like some real lyrical shit, like, like for the trap, like my delivery was different, like with the high pitch, but like I was talking about some real shit that a lot of people could relate to. So that's what it was. Like I was like, man, I gotta do something different, but I gotta do something different that's not too crazy that like some people could still relate to.
Right.
So, you feel me? Like, because people could just make, like, a nigga could just make a high-pitched song just talking about a whole bunch of bullshit, bitches, money, cars, a whole bunch of bullshit. Niggas not really going, niggas gonna be like, man, this is just bullshit. Like, he just trying to, like, he trying hard to like, be different. But, like, I was talking about some shit that niggas could relate to. I just made my delivery different, you feel me? So...
Definitely. Yeah, I don't think it would have like taken off the way it did or hit the same if it wasn't for the fact that you seemed very sincere about it and you were taking it seriously in a lot of ways. And like a lot of people, you know, rap has no shortage of people who are just looking for some kind of viral fucking bullshit to come up off of. You know, yeah. It would have been very easy for your shit to end up in that category and to have people treat it that way, right?
Facts. Yeah, that's another thing too. Like with a bunch of niggas who be going viral and shit, like, they just got that one viral shit, and then shit, pretty much all the shit after that just be, like, it don't live up to what got you where you at. So, shit, like, For the Trap got me where, For the Trap got me on and shit. Like, For the Trap put the world on notice, but I came out with some shit, Yoga. I came out with Yoga after that. Yoga's bigger than For the Trap.
Yoga's the hardest one, if you ask me. Yeah. That song's insane.
Nah, facts, yeah. Shout out Ola Runt.
Right.
Yeah,
but Yoga, he's on every version of it, or he just got on the remix?
Nah, so Yoga was made in November, around this time last year. It was made in November. Ola had got on it. It was me and Ola. We dropped a song in like December last year. Yeah, we dropped a song in December last year. People was already fucking with it. Like this is before the label pushing shit. This is when Ola's on it, so boom. Like you got people like Rosalia fucking with it. Got people putting it like in playlists and shit. It's doing shit by itself. Boom. I get signed and shit. I get signed off For the Trap though. I got signed off For the Trap. Then like Ron was just telling me, Ron Perry was just telling me like Yoga was it. He was like, Yoga's the record. Boom. He was like, okay, this what we going with next. So yeah, and then they just sent like, you know what I'm saying? I'm waiting for this shit. Like, I'm like, so boom, my manager called me. He's like, yeah, like, Ron, he's big on Yoga. He's like, yeah, Yoga's gonna be big. They're gonna make it big and shit. I'm like, man, okay, we going crazy. Boom, I call Ola. I'm like, man, they fucking with Yoga. We finna go viral. We going up. We going up. We gonna shoot the video. So shit, like, some time go by. It's like a week or two. Time go by. They send me the song and shit. The engineer who mixed the song, he sent me the song and shit. I'm listening to it. And then, like, I never hear all our shit. Like, it was just, they took him off and shit. So I'm like, damn. Like, why I do that? But this one, all I was coming up and shit. So, like, I kind of see it from the label perspective and shit. But, yeah.
I feel it. What are the label conversations like when you're going in to get signed and stuff? Are they just like genuinely excited about what you're doing? Or did you feel like, you know, because again, with the label, sometimes they're looking for a quick fucking pump and dump where they want to just take one popping song, get what they can, completely like sort of rinse you of any sort of artistic ambition, use up that song, and then throw you by the wayside. Like, were you thinking about that, or like, was there appreciation for it? You're talking about just having conversations with Ron Perry, who's like the president or CEO of whatever of the label.
Yeah, so shit, really? I already knew that shit. I was like, I was kind of like, shit, like, I got one record that's going crazy. Like, I was just thinking worst case scenarios and shit. But like, I talked to him, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I actually got to like talk to him, fill him out for real. So like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't the only label too that was talking to me. So like, out of all the labels and shit, like, I was just most comfortable with them. Like, because other labels and shit, there was more on some like, there was more low key on some like gimmick shit, like trying to, that's what their approach was, like on some gimmick shit. So out of all the labels I was talking to and shit, like Columbia was just like the most down to earth, like down to earth. They knew what I was doing. They heard other records too. So like, they just knew what I was doing and shit. So yeah, everything was like,
that's what's up. Yeah, it's crazy when you think about it that like Yachty, when Yachty came out in 2016 or whatever, that like his voice and his sound was so shocking to people.
Yeah.
Just from having like sort of a weird croaky voice and doing like melodic ass songs and shit, like mind blowing to people. And then you fast forward like 4 years and it's like people have kind of become numb to a lot of different styles and shit, and that like you had to go in like a way more abstract direction to sort of like get people excited about that, you know, sort of like a similar thing of just trying like a totally different sound in rap.
Yeah, no, that's facts. Like, man, bro, really, people with ADHD, they fuck my shit heavy. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just abstract, it's different. Like, so when people be trying to do different shit, like, they don't really be thinking about it. Man, really, man, like, shit, bro. When I do my high-pitched shit, like, man, if you singing that shit in the high pitch, bro, you going to be turnt, bro. Like, it's a lot of energy in it. So, like, it's abstract, but it's like, I'm trying to explain it. Like, it's energy behind it.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, I don't even know how to explain.
It's interesting to see who it resonates with, because the dude that I do the news with, this dude AD, who's probably like the most gangster guy who does camera on camera stuff here or whatever. He, like, when I said I was interviewing you, he's like, I listened to his new video like 100 times this weekend. Like, he's totally sincere. Like, he's like, yo, that new song is ridiculous. And he's just straight up like, we're playing it in here. He's singing along to it. It's like, but I noticed that happening with me too, is that the more I listen to it, the more my brain gets used to it and it doesn't seem as shocking, and I can kind of just appreciate the melodies and whatnot.
Yeah. After, you know what I'm saying, really, man, like, my music is like, it's like a math problem. Like, once you solve the math problem, it's just like satisfying to listen to and shit. So it's like, Once you got that acquired taste and shit, like, it's just up.
It's interesting though, like, who do you think the main fan base is at this point? And does it feel odd that maybe a lot of the fans are like, I don't know, sort of like indie, like hipster type people, and maybe not necessarily like the core hip hop audience? So I would assume like a lot of those sort of people like still might not understand or might not even heard it necessarily. That sometimes it's like the internet audience that's really being receptive to it.
Yeah, so like, really, when people listen to my shit, like, when people listen to it, the first thing they're gonna say is like, what the fuck? They're gonna be like, what the fuck is this? And then it make them like want to dig into my shit more, because they're just confused. They're like, what the fuck is this? Why is this having so much attention on it? So it start off as like, what the fuck? You know, it go both ways though. Somebody out there finna be like, man, nah, that's not it. That shit just not it. or somebody gonna be like, man, this shit different, and he really saying some shit, because they done listened to it a couple times. They're like, damn, okay. So now they seeing where I'm coming from and shit. After the first, like, after the first listen, you like, what the fuck? You like, damn. People gonna listen to it again, though. They gonna be like, because they got to. You gotta listen to it. You gotta be like, my shit is like some shit where you, because my songs be short, too. So my songs be like some shit, you know what I'm saying? My delivery different, and then, like, they probably not gonna understand what I'm saying. So that make them want to listen to it again, because they really trying to listen now. They're like, damn. So shit, now that they're really trying to listen, then they're gonna pick up some shit that I'm really saying.
Right.
And then they're gonna be like, damn, this nigga really saying some shit.
It's interesting to me, because you seem like you care about the meaning and what you're actually saying a lot, but then you're sort of purposefully like delivering the lyrics in a way that it's hard for people to pick up on, to the point where you even put the lyrics on the screen for a bunch of the videos and stuff.
Yeah.
But is that part of the puzzle, in a sense, that you want people to have to like go look up the lyrics or listen to it over and over to figure out exactly what you're saying? It reminds me of metal, because I grew up listening to metal, where a lot of times the vocals are like you can't tell what they're saying at all, but like you kind of have, it's a different level of learning curve when you have to go look the shit up.
Yeah, and then like you see it, and then some people be shocked. Like, that's another thing too, so it's a factor what come with trying to figure my shit out. Niggas be shocked, niggas be like, damn, I can't even believe he said this. So they're like, damn, he said this for real? And then they start to listening. They're like, damn, he really said this shit. So like, it is like a puzzle, like everything come together. Like, niggas like figuring my shit out. So once niggas figure my shit out, they hook. That's what it is, like addictive. Like, if you got that acquired taste and shit, if you got that acquired taste, like, some shit is gonna go and some shit just not. But like, my shit, and then everybody not gonna fuck with my shit too, though. Like, everybody not gonna fuck with it. Some people, it's not for them.
You can't make music like that and expect everybody to fall in line with it, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't expect for everybody to fuck my shit. So, you know, I just know what I gotta do, and then the people are either gonna pick it up or they not.
Well, it's interesting, because we're kind of like in this day and age, like with Spotify and playlisting and everything, it feels like people are just making music that sort of like ticks all the right boxes. Like, the sound is very minimal. It's like very, like, you know, everybody's rapping over the same sort of trap beats. Everybody's sort of, people don't even seem like ashamed about rapping the most generic shit ever these days a lot of times.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like a weird state to be in, where everybody is basing their judgment of what good music is on what sells, what you can play in the club, what is accessible by a lot of fucking people. So that's why it really kind of stands out to people when somebody like you comes along who's kind of blatantly making music that you're like it's just blatantly not for the masses. It's like, you might not be able to understand this, and it doesn't matter. Like, if you want to figure it out, you're gonna have to decode it, and like that level of challenge is kind of uncommon these days.
That's true. But man, my shit still be playing in clubs, like outside and shit. Like, niggas hit.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of music that's made like specifically 100% to just fall into those boxes, you know. Like, shit has gotten very formulaic in a lot of ways.
That's true.
And even in rap, a lot of times, like, you'll see like a whole generation of rappers coming from one area or whatever that has the same fucking flow, and they stick with it, and you know, like, and sometimes that shit passes by and you don't even really like remember. You sort of forget, like, oh, remember when everybody was doing the
Pablo Juan flow?
Yeah, that's what, like entire states where every rapper for a couple years was just fucking with that flow, and it's like, bro, you're not gonna ever stand out if you keep doing the same shit everybody else is doing.
Thanks. That's another thing too. Like, I looked at it, I was like, man, everybody doing the same shit. All this shit sound the same. I gotta do some shit that's gonna put me apart. But then I was on some shit. I was like, I gotta do some shit that's gonna put me apart. You know, niggas gonna look at it weird, but like, I don't look at this shit I be doing weird. Like, my delivery is just different. So niggas, like, that's literally all it is. My delivery is different. Like, but my content, like the shit I be saying, the shit that niggas be related, like, niggas can relate to, and some niggas been through. So it's like, the substance behind the shit I'm saying.
Definitely. So when you get in the studio, what's your creative process like, or what's your mentality like going into that? Like, Are you mostly like focused on manipulating this sound that you've been playing with for the past few months or whatever, or does your brain go in a lot of different directions in terms of what kind of sound you might be willing to put on a track?
Man, really, this is what I be doing. So shit, I just be at the crib smoking. I be listening like Fleetwood Mac, Elton John, you know, like Mariah Carey and shit. Like that's just what I be listening to, and then it just be getting like stuck in my head and shit, and then I just be like putting shit together. Like if I got some shit I've been thinking about, like I just mix it up. So like, okay, I've been listening to all this shit, so that's my delivery. I'm listening to this shit, so I'm thinking about how I'm finna deliver this shit. Now I'm just putting my thoughts of what's really going on in my day or the week, whatever's going on in the week, and then I just put it together. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? I get the influence from like listening to like old school shit, and then I just put it on with what's really going on in the world. Like either what's going on in the world or what I've been going through that week, that day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just putting it together.
So you write, or do you just sort of let it brew around in your head before you go in the studio?
Yeah, like I just be going with. I don't write though. Like I ain't never wrote because I tried writing when I first rap, but like when you write, it's like I don't know. It's like your flow is, I don't know, it's not coming out organically. It's like you forcing it, like, but some, it's different. For me, it was just more different. Like, I'm writing some shit, I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking about it in my head, and then I'm trying to put it on the beat. It's not really sounding right. So, mm-hmm. It's not coming out together. So, I was just like, shit, okay. Like, I'm gonna just keep playing the beat. I'm gonna think of some shit. Like, I'm gonna think of, okay, now I got like the first two bars. That's what I'm finna say. Then I just go off the first two bars, and then, like, I just be punching in the shit.
Respect. Yeah, that's interesting. Just in terms of how you sort of get to the end result, you know, because and so how much frequency are you dealing with in the studio? Like, are you recording like five songs in a night, or are you like working to really make that one song that you really believe in?
Yeah, I probably make like 2-3 songs a day. Like when I do record, it's some shit. Like I'm focused and shit. Like I don't just go in the studio and then just be like, oh, I'm finna just make anything.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, it just all come together. Like, I don't be trying to force shit.
Definitely. In terms of your visuals and shit, how important is that to you? Is that a big part? Like, obviously, you kind of came up on YouTube a lot.
Like,
how much does that matter to you?
Yeah, I mean, it mattered a lot because like that's my vision and shit. Like, I want people to see my vision and shit, so. You know, all my videos directed like by me, except for one video. It's Yoga. Yoga is not directed by me, but all my videos directed by me. So it's like an image I'm trying to push, like a narrative I'm trying to push. It's like you know, I don't like Ludacris. Like when he was dropping his videos, like Ludacris, DaBaby. Like they got like kind of humor in their videos and shit, and like kind of like a humorous storyline and shit.
Right.
Yeah. Like that's how I look at it. I make music, man. Really, like when I make music, I don't think about making music for old ass niggas and shit. Like I think about making music for children and shit. Mm. So like, that's what I'm targeting.
That's interesting though. Like, have you seen like 8-year-old kids that were fucking losing their minds over your shit?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's tight.
It'd be crazy. Like, yeah, it's definitely for the children, though. But, you know, the children is like, man, children are like the gatekeepers in this shit.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
And it's cool to give them something that they can get excited about that isn't, like, a lot of times... I've seen like my friends' kids who are, you know, 8 years old, whatever. I remember when I did a Rico Reckless interview like a few years ago, and his kid was just straight watching Tay-K, Lil Pump, 6ix9ine. It's like you kind of worry, like, is this kid just getting like violence and drug abuse fed to him?
Yeah,
it's kind of positive to think that they gravitate towards your shit just based off the energy and shit.
Yeah. Young kids, yeah, like, young kids gonna fuck with my shit.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's what's up.
It be the old heads that be, they just stuck in the past.
Mm. It's interesting because you...
They can adapt.
Mm. You having all that involvement in your videos and stuff, I feel like that's very much like what an artist kind of needs to be like these days, because for a long time, a rapper could afford to just be a rapper and then like let the label handle whatever the fuck it's going to look like in the video. Let the label tell me what to wear, tell me what the photos are supposed to look like, tell me what media I'm supposed to do, etc. And it's like that in 2020 doesn't really seem all that realistic. Like you're much better off steering your own ship.
That's what I'm saying. Gotta push the boundaries and shit. Like, that's how I seen it. I was like, man, I gotta push the boundaries. Like, do something different. Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, a lot of people like that's like Thug for an example. I just use Thug for an example. Like Thug, like he's a mogul. Like with YSL, like he put, you know what I'm saying, like. I see it like Thug took a year off, and then like that's when Gunna really like came up, popped for real. He got keyed under him, like so that's like adding the Thug and shit. But like, you know, when Thug first came out, like niggas wasn't really like niggas was confused. Like niggas was like, what's this?
His sound was so fucking abrasive, and it's hard for a lot of people to even remember that when you listen to like his newer albums and shit, where it sounds like Young Thug making big fucking pop songs to a certain extent. Not saying he doesn't make regular ass rap songs too, but when he first came out, we were listening to Thug because it was shocking. And you had never heard rap music that sounded like that, and you had never heard rap music that sounded like he just didn't give a fuck what anyone would think about
it. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? He was pushing the boundaries. He was pushing the boundaries for real. Like, that's how I see shit for myself. Like, pushing the boundaries and shit. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be moments where people ain't going to understand you. But, like, if you got your vision and, like, you know what you finna do, like, that shit really going to impact the world. Like, What Thug doing when he first came out, you didn't think he was finna have niggas copying the shit that he be trying to do. Mm. Like, nobody thought that. Niggas was like, what the fuck is this? What is this? Like, niggas was confused. Now you got hella niggas trying to sound like Thug. Like, hella different shit.
And the thing that made Thug was that he wasn't trying to sound like anybody.
Yeah. Like, nobody. Like, who you think you can say Thug sound like?
When he first came out, I mean... You could see the Lil Wayne influence, but he didn't sound like Lil Wayne.
Yeah, he didn't sound
like
him.
Like, you saw the influence from a few different things and stuff. Like, you could even say, like, oh, you can kind of see, like, a Gucci-type influence, obviously. Yeah. Like, these are artists, though, that, like, their influence was so big that everybody just had to be influenced by them, whether you really sounded like them or not. But that's interesting because a lot of people want to compare you to Cardi, but I think Thug is probably, like, the better comparison point in terms of like what you're actually trying to accomplish. Like the different pitched voice is not the only thing that you're bringing to the table, right?
Yeah, like, man, I got bars in my shit, man. I be saying some real lyrical shit, man. Like, see, so niggas be trying to compare me to Cardi and shit. Like, I fuck with Cardi. I think Cardi got like a style. It's like swag. It's more of like a swag with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, me, like, I got real bars in my shit, man. Like, real lyrical shit. So it's like, niggas already be trying to do the comparing shit. But that's just rap, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you always gonna deal with shit. Niggas gonna be like, you sound like this. You don't even sound like a nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I don't let that shit bother me, because I know what's really going on with me. So. Mm.
But you know Cardi back in the day?
Shit, nah, I never met Cardi.
Oh, okay.
I was on FaceTime with him one time, though. Ola, and then you just ain't fold my shit.
Oh, that's dope. Have you had a chance to talk to Thug at all? I feel like Thug would be interested in what you're doing.
Thug?
Yeah.
Nah.
You should definitely reach out, Thug. If you're watching this, you gotta reach out.
Yeah, shout out Thug.
I would just love to see that. Actually, I'll just like go sit on the couch, and we could just have Thug come in here, and you guys just talk for an hour. I feel like that would be very important content. I would love to see what came out of that.
Yeah, nah, thanks. Shout out Thug. Why so?
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting that I mentioned disco before as like an example of just like, you know, men, you know, making music with like high pitched melodies and vocals and shit. But like, you are literally a, like a disco god in the latest video. Was that intentional at all? Or like, how did you end up on that idea? Like, what made you want to be this disco guy?
With that, so shit, really, I tried to do a flip with Snoop Dogg, Sexual Seduction.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I tried to do a flip. I was just trying to give it like old school shit. That's what, man, that's what really my album finna sound like. It's finna sound like a live, 2000 R&B project or something. Like,
right. Like
early 90s, like R&B type shit.
That's so, what's up.
So yeah, that's, so with the video, you know what I'm saying? We had to go 80s themed. I had to put my fro on.
Yeah.
You feel me? Yeah.
That was a fro wig or you just let your shit go?
Yeah, I just took my hair out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Damn. That's legendary. Yeah. I'm so jealous of anyone who could rock an afro. Okay, so did you delete your projects off of Apple Music and shit?
Nah. After I signed, it just got took down.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah. So that was like an agreement with the label. Yeah. Like, this is how you're gonna handle it?
Yeah. I could have kept it up, but really if I wanted to push to keep it up, I could have, but I don't know. I just told him to take it down. Like,
well, that's interesting. Like,
because I did have, it was like two projects and shit too.
Right.
But I don't know. I just like that first project was like, I don't know. Like, I didn't want the whole world to like try to have a narrative off like that project and shit. So I just took it off. Like, when I signed, I just knew what I wanted to do. Like, and all the shit I wanted the world to hear. So I got that shit took, like, yeah, they got taken down, but.
Interesting. Yeah, because it's like two different mentalities of like letting everybody see how you built to where you're at right now,
yeah,
versus not really wanting everybody to see all the work you did behind the scenes, basically. Because, yeah, like you could consider that shit behind the scenes. I'm sure there's fans that are not happy about it though, but yeah. I mean, they can still go on YouTube. It's not like the shit really is gonna disappear ever, right?
Yeah, it's not, it ain't completely disappeared.
You just gotta work a little harder.
Yeah, you just gotta work harder, you know what I'm saying? You gonna find my shit on YouTube, you gonna find my shit on SoundCloud.
Mm, definitely. Okay, and like the FKA Twig song though, that was an example of like you working with people in more like the indie space and shit. Was that somebody you wanted to work with, or how did you guys end up doing a song together?
So shit, she had reached out to me. She reached out to me in like, I think it was like April. She reached out to me. This before I signed. Yeah, this before I signed. She reached out and she had just started following me or some shit. And then I was already seeing, because I seen some shit she had dropped with Rocky in like 20, I think it was like 2018, 2019.
Mm.
So I already knew who she was. So I'm coming up and shit. And then she followed me. I'm like, damn, Twig just followed me. So I think I had DM'd her. I was like, I fuck with you are. And then she said the same shit. She was like, she like what I'm doing. Boom. Gave me a number. We just started like texting ever since. And then I think I had posted a snippet to Some About You. I already shot the video and shit. Like, I shot the video and then she was like, she need to get on it. She was like, I need to send her the files and shit. So I was like, shit, say less.
Mm.
Yeah, and then I sent it to her and then that's how she got on it.
That's dope. Do you feel like that kind of thing like opens you up to her fan base, or do you feel like her fan base isn't gonna necessarily care?
Nah, her fan base definitely ate it up.
Okay.
Yeah, like, and then the people I be working with, like, it makes sense. It makes sense. Like, it's not no shit. You like, what the fuck?
Right.
Have
you had anybody reach out wanting to work together that maybe was a bigger name, but you just didn't really see it making sense in terms of you couldn't imagine yourself on a song with them?
Yeah, it was a couple people. Because, like, when I was first coming up, It was niggas who I was trying to fuck with, but like, it was niggas who I was trying to fuck with before I got on. But like, I ended up finding out some like weird shit about them. So like, niggas was trying to work with me, but I wasn't just finna work with anybody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hella people I could have worked with that was bigger than me and shit, but it didn't make sense. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not just finna do something that don't make sense. Mm. Like, it's a couple people, like.
Yeah. No, respect for that.
Could have made some songs with some rats.
Yeah?
Yeah, but you know.
Interesting.
I'm not finna do that.
Like, you 6ix9ine reached out, or is it more low key rat?
Yeah, it's something like that, you know. I ain't gonna talk about it, but shit, yeah.
Interesting. You gotta tell me off camera. Do you know? okay. What was this? Oh yeah, all right. This is one conversation I think we should have if people want to know is how hard does 645AR turn up? Like what if you were going to chill with a girl or you're going to the club or whatever, what's your vice of choice? Do you have a vice of choice? Do you do the drinking and the smoking and the getting fucked up that a lot of people do? People want to know. I don't know. I've consumed a lot of your content. I still don't know.
Nah, you know, really, me, I try to push positivity, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't push that, you know. I try to tell the kids stay in school, you know, ooh. Try to tell the kids you could be this when you grow up, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't really be trying to push the negative stuff. People be trying to bring negativity out of me and shit, but, like, I just, like, man, really, like, this is how I see shit. Cause like people be trying to say I'm humbled and shit, but like I done seen rappers like just act on some sadiddy shit. So like I don't, and then me, I'm down to earth. Like I'm gonna be me. Nobody's finna make me act different and shit. So like that's just what it is with me. Like regular, like niggas be trying to have me pop shit. I don't really like popping shit though. Like I just be trying to be in the cut, like yeah. I don't really be going out for real, like for real. Niggas, I don't know, like niggas think because I'm a rapper, I'm just supposed to be out doing a whole bunch of rapper shit. I don't know, like, yeah. I don't really like rappers for real, so it's like, why would I try to, you know what I'm saying, do a whole bunch of rapper shit because right. I'm a rapper.
And I mean, you like, see the corny ass part of it when you sort of see so many people that wouldn't have fucked with you before you popped off just sort of flocking to have something to do with you afterwards, and it's kind of like, you sort of realize, like, the reason why everybody from my area might all rap the same for years at a time is, like, the same reason why, like, you know, a dude pops off and they all want to fucking work with him and shit. And it's just kind of, from your perspective, it's like, you have energy that is very important and very valuable. And if you just start spreading it out, you could do a couple of whack features. And then all of a sudden, that energy that you're carrying around with you that people can't really take away from you could just be, like, dissipated and just useless.
Yeah, facts. Yeah, nah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, like people, like, I be going out of town, like, I be with my peoples and shit. I just be chilling in the crib, hotel and shit. They be like, man, why you ain't trying to leave? I just be chilling, bro.
Yeah. Because like, they want to fucking get the benefits from that. Like, you know, they get some residual pussy from standing next to you in the club. Might really happen.
Nah, and then another thing, like, man, really, like, because, you know, I'm more than a rapper. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm a CEO. I'm trying to be a basketball player. Like, so it's like, that's how I handle myself. Like, I'm not finna handle, man, like, nigga, it's like, rappers just got a bad stigma to them and shit. Like, anybody know that, though. Like, rappers just be targets and shit. So it's like, I'm not finna box myself in as a complete rapper and just do rap shit. Like, because I don't see myself like that. Like, I see myself as, like, more than just a fucking rapper. Like, people, man, I play ball and shit, bro. Like, I'm really finna play in the NBA next year, man. Like, real shit.
Now, how much do you play?
Shit, I play often. I don't play as often as I used to, but shit, like, I'm just getting back into the groove and shit. Like, but I do more than rap, so I'm not gonna carry myself as just a complete rapper and shit. Like, no.
Definitely.
Like, yeah, like, niggas just be trying to, like, act like whole rappers and shit. Like, really crazy.
Well, people start to get the rap money and then they think they need to spend it on everything that they think that a rapper spends money on.
Yeah.
And their time. You guys spend all your time on whatever. Yeah. Just don't start drinking lean.
Yeah.
I know it's fun, but it's going to rob you of your spirit eventually.
Yeah, and I don't like that shit, man. Like, you'd be useless. Like,
yeah.
Because I didn't drink lean before. That shit just made me useless and shit. Like,
yeah.
Why the fuck I want to be on the couch in the daytime, like, And then even so, like, you gotta, you know what I'm saying, like, okay, you can't drink in the nighttime. You can't drink in daytime, save it for the nighttime. But it's like, I don't feel right when I'm on that shit. So it's like, I don't fuck with that shit for real. Like, I need my energy. Like,
definitely.
Man, yeah, I'm more than a rapper, man. Like, because people going to try to put that rapper stigma and just, oh, you drink hella lean. Oh, you said Diddy. Oh, you probably act like Hollywood. But I don't see my, I don't put myself in that lane. I'm myself.
Definitely. Respect. What do you, when you think about, like, where you want to take your career and shit, what do you feel like the big next milestone you want to have? Do you want to put out, like, a project that kind of represents what you're doing right now?
Yeah, nah, that's coming out. Like, my project is coming out, like, top of 2021. So, that's, yeah, when I put that out, that shit going, like, you know what I'm saying? It's going to impact the industry and shit. It's going to impact the game.
Definitely. Could you give us any sneak peeks of who might be on it with you?
I don't even know. I think I should just be surprised. Because really, this is just a question. If you think I'm finna drop a project, like, what do you think my possible features is going to be? Like, just from hearing the shit that you done heard, like, you don't even know who could be on my shit. Like,
well, one person that came to mind was that I noticed that you were kind of playing with some OJ flows on certain songs, like older songs. And yeah. I was just thinking, like, that would be tight if you fucking looped him on that shit.
Yeah, nah, facts. Yeah, nah, yeah.
Because a Gucci collab's too easy. Well, and that's not easy. It's probably expensive as fuck. But, I mean, I know too many people that have done it. And this is, I don't know. I feel like you brought OJ back out. That'd be the hard shit. Cause I was listening to that song you did with Brudinski, and you're like Monday through Sunday, and I'm like, I can recognize that anywhere. Yeah. I know you fucking with OJ.
Yeah, nah, yeah, I grew up on OJ.
Yeah,
a lot of OJ.
Well, so who would you put on the project? Would you go within rap? Would you go within this generation? I don't think so. I think you're too big for that. I would go outside rap, or I would go with like an old school rapper, maybe that you sort of were influenced by that you could do something like interesting with.
Harmony or some shit.
That would be tight. Yes. That would be dope. We don't give OJ the credit he deserves for really sort of like experimenting with high pitched rap way before a lot of people. Like when he first came out saying A-OK over a song, I live in New York. I swear to God, that shit was so big in New York, and we also couldn't believe that something that was that weird was that big in New York, you know?
Nah, that's wild.
Mm. For sure.
Nah, I probably, man, shit, man, I'm trying to get Nas on my project.
See? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, some real lyrical shit.
That's when you put the label to work. Say, yo, go out into the world, get me a goddamn Nas verse.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Real lyrical shit, man. Me and Nas gonna go bar for bar.
Yeah, that would be dope. Yeah. Back and forth, it's over.
Nah, for real.
For sure. What's that dance called? Your signature dance, the sort of like you're jumping on one foot and you're sort of flapping your arms. I don't know what the fuck to call it.
You talking about the... Talking about the bird dance.
The bird dance, right. Yeah. It is. That's pretty self-explanatory, yeah.
Yeah, it just, you know, it's just like, you know, just like stretching.
Yeah.
You do the dance, you're going to be turnt. You do the dance, it's just like you're getting all the bullshit out your system and shit. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just going to turn you up. That's what it is. Like, you know, different dances make people feel different type of ways and shit. You do my dance, you know what I'm saying? It's going to relieve some stress.
Mm. I fuck with that. You ever see The Chicken?
Yeah, I seen The Chicken.
You gotta bring that back.
Yeah. They got the chicken noodle soup dance too. Like,
oh, for real?
I might bring that shit back.
That's hard too, yeah. Somebody was just playing that for me the other day, and I didn't realize, like, I've seen people doing the chicken over the years, like in the Block Boy videos and shit, but I didn't realize there was a whole song about it.
Ah, you ain't know?
No, I did not know the root of it, soup. I gotta admit.
Chicken noodle soup with soda on the side.
Mm-hmm. I changed my whole fucking mind.
Clear it up.
Oh, man. What do you want to promote or, like, tell people to go fuck with? What's your message that you want to leave the people with?
Man, we finna drop an important project. This shit is going to be important to the industry, important to the culture. It's going to change the culture. It's going to shake shit up. What else? It's a whole bunch of shit on the way, man. It's projects. You know, I'm trying to, I be orchestrating projects and shit too, like artists and shit, like, cause you know I'm finna do label shit, so like have my own label shit, like have artists and shit, but yeah, it just a whole bunch of shit, like, man, it's a lot of shit on the way, it's a lot of like moves in the works.
For sure. Respect, man. Hey, I think the people out there are going to appreciate getting a chance to dig into your brain a little bit more. Pause. And just get to know you, you know?
Facts. Pause.
645 AR. No jumper.
Yeah.
Coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. Nojumper.com if you want to support.
Turn up.
Appreciate you, man.